Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from today's gospel, where it says, "The sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Yet other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, and some 30. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, it's great to be back from vacation. Vacation was, well, it was a great time with family, and the food was good, and the bed was good, and the weather was primarily good most of the time. The rest of it was just a train wreck, I tell you. It was just, at least from my perspective. I had hurt my hand before I left, but on Monday, no pain at all. It was great. And I thought, hey, I'm fully recovered. Well, Monday night, it went south on me again and started swelling up. And it kept getting worse Tuesday and Wednesday until Thursday. My whole hand was swelled up, and the swelling and pain was going into my elbow. And so I finally had to go back to urgent care, the same one I went to 4 months prior. Okay, and I go in there, and the doctor said that I had dangerously high blood pressure, which, I mean, I hadn't slept in 3 days, and I was in all kinds of pain. And at the same time, she said, and she couldn't get a pulse out of this hand. And I said, wait a second. If I have high blood pressure, doesn't that mean you're getting a pulse too, right? I mean, the pressure leads to the pulse, and she just kind of goes, I don't know. And she goes, well, you know, you can either go home and die or you can go to the hospital. So I opted for the hospital. And so I went to the same ER, in the same room, by the way, that I had been 4 months ago. And they gave me some hydromorphone. I've had that before in pill form. It's a joy, okay? But getting a shot of that stuff, I thought I was going to die. I felt I couldn't breathe anymore. I felt like someone was pushing me through the bed. It was horrible. And it just took the edge off the pain. Then they took a bunch of blood to test my blood. And then they finally came in and said, now we have to kind of tap your wrist, okay? We got to take some fluid out of there and test that. And they said, we can't. Usually we gum in the top of your wrist, but there's a big red spot there, so it's probably infected. So we're going to go in through the side. So they pulled out this needle that was, you know, I don't know how big that thing was. It was big. I wasn't looking. I'd hate to see the looks on my face when that thing was going in, digging around. But they pulled off, I don't know, a few cc's of red stuff and went and tested that. And before they left, I said, so what are you testing for? And they go, well, more than likely than not, you have an infection in your wrist. And so I'll have to admit you to the hospital. I'm like, no. And then we're going to have to cut you open and flush your wrist out to get that infection out because the antibiotics won't do it. And I said, is that it? And they go, no, we also want to test what the fluid that's coming out of your wrist and your blood to see if you have sepsis. Okay, I'll see you later. And then they walked away, leaving me for a half hour with a phone and internet access and Google, where right away I looked up sepsis. So that was a fun half hour, you know, looking at that. And I'm like, oh, I don't want this. So that entire time, I was thinking about this and what could happen. And the one thing I realized is there's really nothing I can do about it. Whether I have sepsis or infection or not, or I'm healthy, nothing I can do about it. That was my beginning of my vacation. Now, when we look at this text, we see basically the same thing, although we don't often see it that way. This parable is the first of many. We're going to have, I think, three or four more parables in the coming weeks, but this is the first of these seven parables that follow. This is the most important one. And all too often, people forget that it's called the parable of the sower, and they want to make it the parable of the four different kinds of soil. Okay? It's not called that, and it certainly isn't that. In fact, I read a bunch of commentaries on this, and one commentary said everything about this, all the soils are positive. And I'm like, what? Yeah, and because, I mean, one of them definitely there's no growth, and that's where the bird eats it. You know what the commentary said? How they made that a positive, how they, you know, turned that frown upside down? They said, well, you see, the bird eats the seed, and it goes through the digestive system, you know, and then it ends up on the ground again, but with fertilizer, and it grows even more. Now, that's called taking an illustration way too far, okay? Jesus is not concerned about birds and their digestive systems. The first three soils, not positive. And these are illustrations of people and how they respond and receive God's word, Jesus' word, which is the good news of the kingdom. These are not positive. Now, if we look at these, let's just look at the four types of soil right off the bat. First of all, you have the ones that fall by the path. That's a tramped down hard ground. It says the birds come and they snatch it away. And Jesus tells us exactly what that means. He goes, well, that's very clear. That is when the word of God comes and someone does not understand it. And so Satan comes and snatches away before it can take hold in a person's heart. The second one is the seed lands on thin soil. And in this thin soil, it grows quickly, and yet when the sun comes, it withers. And Jesus tells us what that means. The sun that's coming up there is the troubles and the persecutions that come, and he says, on account of the good news. In other words, the good news of Jesus Christ is on opposition to what the world feels is good news. And so that persecution and that trouble causes that plant to die and faith to die in that person. The third is the seed hits thorny area, right? But and yet it grows really quickly, but when the thorns grow, they choke it out. And Jesus goes into detail again, telling us exactly what that means. He goes, that's the anxiety that people have in this world. In other words, it's seeking contentment in themselves outside of Christ. And that kind of anxiety about life in the world chokes out a person's faith. And then a fourth soil falls in good soil, where people are able to defend themselves against Satan. And they're able to stand up to persecution. And they're able to place their contentment in Jesus Christ. And then they are fruitful. So that's usually how we would begin this sermon. And then the next step would be saying, everything's all about the dirt. What kind of dirt are you? Are you the good dirt? Are you the bad dirt? Are you the thin dirt? Are you the thorny dirt? And how do we change ourselves into the good dirt? That's the clear understanding most people have. Whereas if Jesus is, this is a pep talk, telling people and telling dirt how to make themselves more productive. Now, by the way, when Jesus says, people hear but they do not understand and see but they do not perceive, that way of looking at this parable is exactly what Jesus is describing. The first step in understanding what this parable is all about is realizing that what takes place in the beginning doesn't make any sense at all. Just so you know, 2,000 years ago, farmers in the Middle East didn't just throw seed everywhere like this guy's doing. Okay, they prepared land, and then they sowed that land. They didn't throw it where there were going to be thorns. They certainly didn't throw it where it was rocky, and they certainly wouldn't throw it on a highway. So it doesn't make any sense at all. And so definitely, this is not a definition of a good farmer. What it is in this parable is a definition of a gracious God. Because according to him, no type of soil is disqualified from his seed. He gives his good news of the kingdom in Jesus Christ to everyone. Good, bad, indifferent. Everyone gets it. And the growth is always from him. And if you want a case in point of Jesus doing just that, you look at his three-year ministry with the disciples. How often did the disciples show evidence of all these types of soil in their lives throughout these 3 years? They rarely understand what Jesus is saying, and so the truth is really not going to their heart. They don't face persecution very well. They have anxiety all the time about their life with Jesus right by their side. I mean, the day after Jesus fed 4,000 people with, a couple loaves of bread, they're upset because they only have one loaf of bread in the boat. What are they thinking? Anxiety. And on occasion, they show that they're also good soil, right? Because, like when Peter was definitely good soil that the Holy Spirit planted his seed in when Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's an example of good soil. So the second thing we need to understand this parable is that, like the disciples, we evidence all four of these types of earth in our own life. We are all four types of soil. Now, according to this, it's 75% of the time it's bad, 25% good. I would put 25% a little bit lower than that. Okay? And that's where we're at. The question is, what do we do about it? The reason that led up to all this stress in the ER was not just, you know, I mean, it was all this stuff, but that stress just kept building. Okay? Just making sure, is this thing going to ever heal? It took a while, a little while. I mean, the next day after I was in the ER, my dog killed a skunk in the backyard. Covered 35 feet, shot up onto a 2-foot raised thing, and just killed him. Got it before he got squirted. Thank the Lord. But, you know, skunks still smell. So with that, the next day he drove a very angry rabbit into our swimming pool. Okay? I just learned that rabbits are really good swimmers, but they're not happy about it. And so I had to get the pool skimmer to get him out. So all these things just build up, build up, build up. And so I'm asking myself, you know, I can't do this on my own. There's a science about soil. I think it's called edaphology, right? And that edaphology is a science where you determine whether a soil is productive or not. What edaphology is not is a science in motivating the dirt to make itself fertile. Dirt doesn't do that. Someone has to do that to the dirt. And that's where we're left. So what do we do then? As good dirt on occasion and bad dirt most of the time. What do? First of all, we recognize that fact. Second of all, we recognize that we are helpless to change that. And thirdly, we call out to Jesus. When we're tempted by Satan, when we face troubles and persecution, when we feel anxious and are paralyzed by anxiety in this life, we call out to Christ because he is our Lord and he is our Savior. We call out to him because he says, I didn't come to save the righteous, but I came for sinners. We come to him because he is the good shepherd who finds the sheep and brings them home. We come to him because in this parable we see the perfect illustration of who he is. He is such a gracious God that he casts the seed everywhere and on everybody. And we call on him because he is the one who can do something about it. When I was in the ER, I had a novel idea. Hey, you know what? Why don't I pray to Jesus about it? Novel idea for a Christian, right? But, you know, hey, Google's not helping me out here, you know, especially when I press images. And so I prayed, right? Why did I pray to him? I prayed to him because I knew he was in my life. I knew he cared. I prayed to him because I knew he could change it. And I prayed to him that even if it didn't change, he would still be there. That's why I called out to him. Because he's our gracious God, and he's the one who sows seed in our life, and he prepares us to receive it. And I pray that every day of our lives we call out to him because of who he is and what he has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.